OTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and from somewhere in the black hole of home renovation, it's Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor.
Yeah, I'm neck deep in home renovation.
You're deeper than that.
Yeah, and it's very difficult when you have a broken foot and a broken hand to do anything.
Now, the broken hand, that's new.
Yeah, I explained it on Facebook. Let's just say the leg that has been receiving physical therapy all these months and has been working on, and I've been telling them my ankle doesn't feel right. It gave way in the supermarket last week, and to protect it, I deliberately took the full weight on my hand. Little did I know my wrist would snap back and some of the bones in the hand would break.
Clean
Wasn't
up an aisle
purpose.
Four. Clean up an aisle four.
Yeah, clean me up, right?
Folks, I need to let you in on something. Last time we were on the air, Diane talked about this home renovation project that she's got going on there. And I've been asked questions, and I said I would answer the most important question on the air tonight. The answer is no. Diane still doesn't have a kitchen. The good news is it hasn't altered her lifestyle in the least.
Not in the least. The kitchen is ready to be installed. The appliances are being shipped in and all that. That's well and great, but they've got to take down some old wallpaper, and all the crews are, one is on top of another. I have someone coming in tomorrow to see about taking it down, prepping it for paint, and then everything can be reinstalled.
You're just living the dream, right? I mean, you can't
find...
It's
more like a nightmare.
Exactly. You can't find anything. And who could? Yeah. I mean, think about this, folks. I don't care where you live. Think about taking virtually everything you own and packing it up into boxes and things, and then stuffing it away where it's anywhere but inside your house, and then try to find something.
Yeah, and then most people will move out during renovations of this scope. Unfortunately, I cannot do that because of the condition I'm in right now, and also because I have four cats. One of them is 16, and I figured they would handle it better if we were here. And they are. They're being real good. And I was not going to put them in kennels or anything. So we're living college dorm style in a master bedroom and a master bathroom. But it's not going to be much longer.
The cats are actually, I think, doing better than you at this point.
They are.
They're not in body casts.
No. They're not brace cast and absolutely disgusted.
Well, folks, because of everything, okay, because of all of this stuff, none of which is my fault.
None.
We're only doing an hour tonight. I think our listeners can understand that.
Well, I think you should tell our listeners about the T-shirt.
Well,
Diane's been telling me, not every place she goes, but a lot of places she goes. I mean, because, you know, she's limping around. She's got this brace thing on her foot. She's now got this brace thing on her hand, you know, and on her wrist. And I mean, you know, she's... Obviously, she should never be allowed out of the house without being fully encased in bubble wrap and wearing a helmet. But, you know, every place she goes almost, they, you know, oh my gosh, honey, what happened to you? Did you have a stroke? So we came up with a t-shirt idea.
To tell the truth.
To tell the truth. The t-shirt would just simply say, I have not had a stroke or a heart attack. I was hit by an asshole in a Cadillac.
Yep.
And I think that would clear it up. You wouldn't have to explain it everywhere you go.
I know, but I mean, I've had people look at me and going, you can't have had a stroke. You're much too young for that. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not what happened.
Yeah, let me tell you. Let me tell you a story. Folks, short show tonight, but we are going to cover a bunch of topics that are hot in the news right now. And we're also going to be talking about Coke's less white racist agenda.
Yes.
And I gotta thank everybody who's made comments. That particular commentary has gone wild on social media. So I thank everybody who's been passing it around, sharing it, and writing comments on it and everything. You know, it's a friend of mine, Paul Ramirez, put a comment on there last night. And it was really funny because in that comment, Paul talks more about skin color than I have ever heard Paul talk about skin color in the 25 years he and I have been personal friends.
You want to know something? This, you know, nonsense since the Democrats have been bothering us, basically. No one has ever talked more about skin color.
Well,
now it's like everything is because of skin color. No, it's not, folks.
You know, Paul and I got to know each other when I was still living in Lincoln years and years and years ago, and we've known each other. We've been personal friends for about 20, 25 years now. Paul is Hispanic, but I've never, ever heard him ever mention it until he put this comment in there, and it's a great comment. So,
well,
you know, Paul's one of those guys that, well, you'll see when we get to that part of the show. Let's start with one of Diane's favorite people, Andrew Cuomo.
Piece of shit. I mean, we can only say this stuff on internet radio, folks. We would be bleeped out if we were on terrestrial.
Yeah, don't hold back, Diane. Holding back will give you an ulcer, and you got enough problems. True. So just tell it like it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put up a great meme spoken into your phone because you can't type anymore. Right. You put up a great meme about that. Tell people what that said, because this is so true.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Basically, it said, the charge Cuomo is facing relates to the number of unreported COVID deaths, not to his deliberate culling of the elderly, of elderly folks. But there was a companion to that one, and that one was put up this morning. And what it said is, I'm scrolling with one finger, Craig. Okay.
But I know which finger it is.
Right. The one today said anyone, or I should say yesterday, not today. Anyone else notice that since the sexual allegations against Cuomo have come out, the nursing home scandal has been played down, if played at all?
Well, and that is so true, because in the liberal world, okay, it's apparently it's better to be a sexual predator than it is to kill old people, and right. So they're trying to focus attention on that because they're gonna downplay that. That's no big deal. You know, of course, after, you know, all the gnashing of teeth and wadding of panties the liberals did over President Trump and Brett Kavanaugh when he was, nominated to be a Supreme Court justice. And, you know, mm-hmm. You go all the way back to Clarence Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. And the panty wadding the liberals were doing back then. You know, this, they're just going to try to gloss over, but they're using it to divert and deflect people's attention away from the fact that, and it is a fact, that Cuomo was putting people in nursing homes and killing old people by doing it.
Exactly. And like we've said a couple of times in the past, I wrote all about this last May, that something was, you know, going on in New York. And basically, I accused him outright of culling the elderly herd, basically killing them off. And the reason is, it's less drain on New York's budget.
Exactly. There's method to the madness.
No. And I've been saying this all along, and only now the media is picking up on it, or I should say was picking up on it, until out of the blue, as expected, we were just waiting for some sexual allegation to surface.
Well, anything salacious is better than anything deadly, right?
Right. And it's a Democrat woman that brought these allegations. So, you know, something smells, let's put it that way.
Yeah, something really does. I mean, this is ridiculous, okay? Cuomo needs to be charged criminally mm-hmm. in the nursing home deal.
Right. You know, some people are going overboard and saying things like he needs murder charges brought against him or something with inhumanity. But what he actually could be prosecuted on is accessory to murder. He can't be charged with murder. He did not physically kill anybody.
My guess is it'll come down to something if, and it's a big if, there are any criminal charges, it'll come down to something like accessory to manslaughter.
Right. It could be that. Negligent. It could be negligent homicide.
Negligent manslaughter, something like that. Yeah. Right.
Right. But being that New York is a liberal state, and while some Democrat politicians are now, you know, furious at him, I don't think there's enough to basically whitewash this away.
No, and this is something that I said a couple of weeks ago. I said, this is not going to go away. The media is actually going to wind up turning on him on this because this is too big. This is not something you sweep under the rug and nobody notices. I mean, this right. is like trying to sweep an elephant under the rug. Everybody's going to know there's something under there.
Right. Now it's a matter, will the media, though, for once do the right thing? I'm not going to hold my breath for it, Craig. It's a very liberal state controlled by Democrats, all, you know, from all branches down there. So I'm not going to hold my breath that he wouldn't get anything more than a slap on the wrist.
Well, I think eventually there's going to be charges brought.
I hope.
But I don't think it's going to amount to much. I think they're going to plea bargain him down. I think, you know, by the time this gets to court, it's going to be so watered down that it'll probably be a misdemeanor charge at best. It should be a felony, but...
Well, he's already announced he's running for the fourth term as governor. I don't think that's going to sit well with the people of New York because too many people have lost their loved ones.
He may carry New York City, but he's not going to carry the state. And I think his political career is pretty much over.
God, I hope so.
I mean, I think a lot of people hope so. You know, well, obviously. Oh, go ahead.
There's a petition going around right now. A few years ago, he changed the name of the Tappan Zee Bridge, which is in between Westchester and Rockland counties in upstate New York. And it goes over the Hudson and links the two counties. And it has always, from the time it was built decades and decades ago, been called the Tappan Zee Bridge. Well, he changed it to his father's name, the Mario Cuomo Bridge. Most New Yorkers do not accept it. Everybody calls it the Devon C. Bridge. But there's now an official petition going around. I signed it. An official petition that it needs to be changed back to the Tappan Zee Bridge. Right. That's how angry the people of New York are.
I don't think that's going to go away fast. I really don't.
No,
I think they're going to hold that political grudge.
Mm-hmm.
At least I hope they do. Next up, CPAC. CPAC mm-hmm. is going on. It's going on down in Orlando.
Right.
And, boy, they've had a bunch of great speakers. Tomorrow, Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, is going to speak. Yep. Sunday afternoon, President Trump will be on the stage.
Yes. And today they had some real good speakers. They had Dan Bongino. They had Ted Cruz. And my favorite, Ron DeSantis, our great governor of Florida. And he just blew them away.
Bongino blew them away, and so did Matt Gaetz, by the way.
Yes, he's also one of our representatives. And the reason they did so is because Florida has been open, except for the first couple of weeks that Trump locked everything down. We've been open. We are not a mask-mandated state. It's up to the personal establishments. We've all been eating out. We've all been shopping. And we have some of the lowest numbers in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Matt Gaetz ran a bunch of the rhinos into the dirt today. Ted Cruz did, too. Donald Trump Jr. Did a little bit of talking today. And he kind of highlighted or got people a little bit even more excited, if you can believe that, to hear his dad, Donald Trump, speak on Sunday. And he told the crowd at CPAC today, he said, my dad's speech this weekend is going to prove that MAGA is the direction of the Republican Party.
I sure hope so. And there's also rumages that we're hearing through the grapevine down here that President Trump will announce that he's going to run again in 2024.
Because I've heard that.
Also, something very strange happened today. Mitch McConnell actually came out and said if Trump runs again, he will unequivocally support him, which leads me to believe that all the nonsense McConnell did over these past few weeks, I think he was threatened.
It sure seems that way, doesn't it? You know, and not only that, but Mitt Romney came out a couple of days ago, and he said if Trump runs in 2024, he will easily win the nomination, and he will win the presidency in a landslide. Mitt Romney said that.
I know. But no, I don't think there is such a thing as a landslide anymore because everything is fixed, cheated, and broke.
Yeah, you got to wonder about that. But I'll tell you what, Ted Cruz today. Ted Cruz was on fire.
Yes, he was.
He was talking about Donald Trump, and he was talking about the direction of the Republican Party. He was really laying into these rhinos, right? And he says, and I quote, let me tell you this right now. Donald J. Trump ain't going anywhere.
Right.
Wow.
He's not. And thankfully he's not. I'm just hoping if he does announce that he will run again, and of course he will have my support, I pray he will pick Ron DeSantis as his running mate.
Could very well be.
Yeah.
That could very well be. Let me tell you my favorite Ted Cruz line of the whole speech today.
Okay.
Okay. When he first came on stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz, you know, this guy, if you follow him on Twitter, if you read any of his stuff, he's got a hell of a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Okay. He said, and I quote, Orlando is awesome. It's not as nice as Cancun, but it's nice.
Yeah. You know, that's the way you handle something that was kind of a political oops. You kind of make fun of yourself, and it takes the steam out of the opposition.
It was, that was a fantastic line today. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not as nice as Cancun, but it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love that.
Yes.
Look, coming up this weekend, there's going to be a lot of high-powered people on that CPAC stage. I mentioned it before, Governor Kristi Noem out of South Dakota is going to be there. She's going to talk about the fact she never shut her state down.
No, she didn't either.
Her, you know, and,
Florida,
and, they're doing,
and a few others.
Yep, South Dakota's doing great. She's also going to talk, I think, about the fireworks. And they've got all the permits and everything to do it again this year. But it's really up to the new Secretary of the Interior.
Are you talking about July 4th?
Talking about July 4th.
Yeah, okay.
You know, she wants that to happen again because she said a couple of days ago in a press conference, she said, you know, last year, when we did this 4th of July thing, even amid the pandemic, when the pandemic was at its worst, it still brought $2 million of retail into our state, which accounted for something like $160,000 in one day of extra tax revenue. She said, I know this summer it'll be even bigger because the pandemic has let off.
Right.
You know, remember last year when they did this on July 3rd and President Trump was there, you had to win a lottery to get in there. Literally, they had a lottery for tickets for people to get in there. So not a whole lot of people showed up because, you know, what are you going to do, right? So this summer, this 4th of July, with everything wide open and almost all the restrictions completely gone, right, she's expecting a huge crowd at Mount Rushmore.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great because you know what? A lot of people are no longer calling this a pandemic. They're calling it a scamdemic. And for a very good reason. Because have anybody else noticed that when the COVID numbers go up, the flu numbers go down. When the flu numbers go up, the COVID numbers go down. People are getting sick and tired of this. And now the new vaccines that are coming out, they're like 70, 72%, 75% effective. Why bother? Herd immunity is finally starting to kick in.
That's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Herd immunity, that's the way to go.
Yep.
All right. Now, finally, in this segment, Diana and I have been waiting for a whole week to talk about this. The Perseverance rover safely landed on Mars, and what we're getting back from it already is staggeringly beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, some of the pictures... Just amazing, guys. And basically, think of it this way. Think of Mars as a haystack. Think of the rocket and the little Perseverance as a needle. We hit that needle dead bullseye in the haystack.
You know, when you look at what had to happen for that thing to land properly and safely and on target.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a 7-month journey that covered nearly, this is staggering, 300 million miles. Okay, we had to loop it around Earth once for it to pick up speed and fling itself at an empty spot in space that would, 7 months later, be occupied by Mars.
Right.
There's no orbiting Mars to get yourself ready to deorbit and land. You've got to hit it just right. And the landing spot, basically from 300 million miles away, was smaller than a postage stamp. We hit that postage stamp with a bullet fired from 300 million miles away. That's astounding.
It's absolutely amazing. And the thing that scares me more than anything is the Democrats' entire mindset about this. We're wasting money on space. I'm waiting for them to try to dismantle Space Force because I have a feeling that's coming.
They'll try, but I don't think they're going to be very successful.
I hope not. Because
I'll tell you what.
Remember, he who controls space controls the world.
We have gotten the first 4G pictures back from Mars in a 360-degree panorama. Holy crap. We are seeing detail from the Martian surface we have never seen. But here's one of the things that is truly astounding. I hope if you haven't seen it, you got to go to YouTube. If you haven't seen the video that shows the actual landing from the perspective of, the rover, the instant that thing touches ground, the sky crane rockets off at an angle. You see it rocketing away.
Right.
That sky crane then crashes to the Martian surface 700 yards away. Okay. Mm-hmm. It takes not quite a minute for that thing to crash. And that little rover, in that first minute on the surface, got a photo of that thing crashing into the surface of Mars.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Holy crap.
it's amazing. But you know what? I think certain people, Craig, when they report on this mission, really need to do their homework before opening their mouths.
Would you be talking about Dana Perino by any chance?
I would be talking about Dana Perino because today she went on air and she was talking about the mission. And she said, about NASA's motto. Well, Dana, I got some news for you. NASA's motto is, quote, for the benefit of all, end quote. JPL's motto is dare to do great things. She thought NASA's motto was dare to do great things. Here it is. It's been all over the news now for, days. And a top newscaster screws up the motto. And this has to do with the parachute, folks, because those red marks were not random red marks. They were JPL's motto, which is dare to do great things. And perseverance is a great thing. And she screws it up on air.
JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, it's part of NASA, but it's also its own entity.
Right. It's part of Kelly Caltech. Yeah.
They built that logo or slogan into the parachute using binary code.
Right.
This is what happens when rocket science geeks have too much time on their hands. They design a pattern using binary code into a 65-foot diameter supersonic parachute.
Yes.
But it's so cool because it's one of those things that, you got to be some sort of rocket scientist to figure it out.
Right. And quite a few people did figure it out. If you know anything about binary codes and how NASA uses them and things. But to get the main logo wrong of the whole Perseverance mission, Dana Perino really needs to hang her head in shame. Well, she's a rhino anyway.
Yeah. What do you expect?
Yeah.
But congratulations to JPL. Excuse me. Congratulations to NASA.
Yes.
All the thousands of people that spent years and years and years designing this thing and figuring out how to hit a postage stamp with a bullet from 300 million miles away. Job well done.
Very well done.
We're gonna see things and learn things about Mars that we never even dreamed of.
True.
This is gonna be fantastic to watch over the next few years.
I can't wait till we get the word and we might get it even ahead of the media,
yeah,
that they found some microscopic or bacterial life on Mars, because all hell will break loose.
Don't blame it on my people. We Lysoled Mars before we left. Don't blame it on my people.
Right.
That's all I can tell you. All right, folks, look, we made it here to the bottom of the hour. Got one segment left tonight. We're going to be talking about Koch's less white racist agenda. So stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
OTC is go.
Bank of business is go.
PTC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Policom.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show, 26th of February, and welcome to it. Glad you're along for the ride, folks. Short show tonight. Diane's got one hand full and the other one in a sling.
Yeah. And a giant cast from elbow to finger.
Oh, man, doesn't sound like any fun at all.
It's not.
So we're doing an abbreviated show, and that's okay. We're going to do our best. We can't promise you anything. We're going to do our best to get a podcast up for you tomorrow. If everything goes according to whatever plan we have, which I think is now down to plan C or D,
yeah,
then we'll have it up for you tomorrow morning. If not, you know, it is what it is.
Let's put it this way. I tried.
It is what, I mean, Diane is the designated podcast putter-upper.
Yes.
And
in other words, I have to download the show, convert it over to the servers. Then it goes on the podcast site. Then it goes over onto the website. And then we share it from there. If my hand will allow it. We're not sure, because working with my left hand when I'm a righty is not exactly fun, and it's not exactly, it doesn't listen to me, my left hand, let's put it that way.
I am completely right-handed myself. I would not even begin to know how to operate my mouse left-handed. No way. I'm just saying, no way.
No, it's impossible, and it's physically impossible right now to operate it with my right hand.
Well, folks, look, this is going to be the last segment of the show tonight, so let's jump into it. And I'll tell you this. As we're saying goodbye, the last thing I'm going to tell you folks tonight is that holy crap moment of tonight's show. And I'll do it as you know, we sign off, and we'll just leave it laying there. We won't talk about it. We'll just leave it laying there for you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So we're talking about Koch's less white racist agenda. Imagine owning a business. Imagine holding a training seminar for your employees. Imagine that seminar being a course on being less black. Imagine the outrage from liberal Marxists, the cancel culture, the mainstream media, and social media. Both you and your company would be finished. You would never again be allowed to post to social media, and you would henceforth be a pariah, branded as a racist forever. Coca-Cola recently put their employees through a training seminar called Confronting Racism, Understanding What It Means to Be White, Challenging What It Means to Be Racist. In that training seminar, Coca-Cola employees were told that they needed to be less white. They were told that they needed to, and I quote, be less oppressive, be less arrogant, be less certain, be less defensive, be less ignorant, be more humble, listen, believe, break with apathy, break with white solidarity, unquote. They were then told, quote, in the U.S. and other Western nations, white people are socialized to feel that they are inherently superior because they are white. Research shows that by age 3 to 4, children understand that it is better to be white, unquote. Finally, Coca-Cola told their employees, and I quote once again, this effort to be less white has to start early, as children as young as 3 are already taught that their white race makes them inherently superior, unquote. Coca-Cola claims this portion of the LinkedIn training program isn't part of their training program, but they admit that their training program is taken from the LinkedIn program. Diane, isn't that kind of a fine line?
Mostly, I mean, it's part of the hypocritical line because I didn't know a beverage suddenly became a political, you know, weapon of choice.
Apparently it is now.
Yes.
Okay, for all the sense in the world that makes. Look, I don't care where the crap came from, nor do I much care who might be using it. What strikes me is that any training that signals out any race and or tries to teach people to be or act less of any given race is inherently racist in nature. But so long as white is the race being singled out, it's all well and good, right? I mean, how long would a training video like that, training to be less black, be allowed to remain on LinkedIn? How long would something like training to be less black be allowed on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter? Not very damn long, but a video explaining how to act less white? What's the problem? Well, I'm white. I've been white for as long as I can remember. My ancestry goes all the way back to Scotland, England, and Ireland. So as far as being white is concerned, I'm damn near transparent. I did, however, miss the preschool training on feeling superior because I was white. It wasn't offered in my elementary school. I took lots of classes in junior high and never saw that being offered, and my high school somehow failed to have classes in it. I may well have majored in being white in college because, well, I seemed to come by it naturally, but as no such coursework was available, I couldn't. The point is, I can't act less white because I am white. I'm not acting. Could I be sporting cornrows as a hairstyle? Sure. Could I go around calling people I don't know nigga all day? I suppose. I could. Could I listen to gangster rap and pretend that that's music Could I pretend to be oppressed because of something that ended more than 150 years ago? Yeah, I guess I could. Probably. But if I did those things, I'd be accused of cultural appropriation and instantly be deemed a racist. I see black women straightening their hair and dyeing it blonde. I see black men with blonde afros. I see black people wearing blue or green contact lenses, driving minivans, and listening to ABBA on their stereos. What I never see are any of those people being accused of cultural appropriation. What I do see are some black people telling other black people who they say are not oppressed that they are not black enough. Those who are deemed to be not black enough by other black people are then told to act more oppressed, be more arrogant, be more certain, be more defensive, be less humble, and get into solidarity with the BLM. In other words, what they're being told is to be more white, as those have been deemed to be white traits, while we white people are being told to be less white with regard to the exact same supposed traits. In all of my formative years, you know, those years where being white was never offered in school, I was taught by my parents, culturally and by black people, that the world would be far better off if we were all colorblind. I've spent my entire life not giving a single happy damn about anybody's skin color. That simply didn't matter to me. What did matter was whether or not an individual was a good or a bad person, and whether or not a pretty girl would go out with me. There are good and bad people of all skin colors, and from all manner of cultures. But that's not true if you happen to be white. You see, today, if you happen to be white, you are systemically bad, according to the liberal Marxists. You are systemically racist. You are systemically wrong for the world, because of the color of your skin, not because of your actions. You must be retrained. Which brings me back to Coca-Cola. Joe Biden tweeted last week, "I'm proud to see Coca-Cola educate their staff in cultural reappropriation." Diane, I have no idea what he's talking about, and I suspect neither does he. What in the hell is cultural reappropriation?
It's a made-up term by the Democrats. You know, they make things up to fit their agenda. But you know what's most grievous about this? This thing from Coke was taken from LinkedIn.
Right.
Well, LinkedIn is supposed to be a site for people to find jobs through.
Uh-huh.
Post things about how to improve your business, how to get more business, not how to become the political voice of business. And that's what Coca-Cola is doing. They're showing their Democrat political leanings. They are putting it out there. And in the meantime, you know, people all over Facebook are saying time to boycott Coca-Cola. And I answer them back. I talk into my phone and I say, listen, most times boycotts don't work. And especially in the case of a beverage that America is basically hooked on, they're not going to give it up.
Right.
For cultural appropriation or whatever you want to call it. This whole thing is stupid. And I really believe that if these things were ignored as they come up and we didn't feed into it and we didn't give them airtime, these things would go nowhere.
Well, maybe you're right, but I'll tell you, some things like this are so butt stupid.
True.
You know, that they need to be exposed. Look, Joe Biden wasn't done. He
right.
went on to tweet, "I'm proud to see Coca-Cola and their staff in cultural reappropriation." What the hell? He then said, "The disconnect is because of the way white people talk, leaving minorities confused." What? The way white people talk confuses minorities? Has anybody ever actually tried to decipher Ebonics? I doubt most black people can make heads nor tails of that gibberish. Biden rambled on. Black people communicate a certain way, and me and my staff know how those kinds of people talk, and it's time white people learn to do the same. If conservatives were to refer to black people as those kinds of people, we would be canceled from the planet. Mm-hmm. And really, it ought to be I and my staff, not me and my staff. As Joe and those kinds of people would put it, let me ask you a question. Why should the overwhelming vast majority of Americans be dumbed down to speaking Ebonic or ghetto mumbo-jumbo and wearing our pants at half-mast to make what probably amounts to 2 or 3% of the black population feel better about themselves? Wouldn't they have higher self-esteem if they could ask a question rather than ax one? Apparently being well-spoken is a sign of being too white, which is another reason that those who speak in ghetto accent think well-spoken black people aren't black enough. But let me explain something to Joe and those kinds of people. Making the transition from talking like Hoke in Driving Miss Daisy to talking gutter gangsta ghetto trash isn't a step up. If English is your first language, and you make it sound like your third, regardless of your skin color, that's not my problem, regardless of my skin color.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the bottom line. While the real problems faced by far too many minorities in this country are cultural, and possibly systemically cultural, they are not caused by white culture. They are self-inflicted acts of racism within their own so-called communities. Minorities have far more privileges in this country today due to their skin color than do white people. They should get, or they actually get more passes on their failures than do white people. The problem isn't that white people are too damn white for anybody's good. It's that far too many minority people are using their skin color as a crutch, and far too many of them would rather everybody else lower their standards rather than to raise their own. Cultural engineering was one of the roots of slavery in this country, and it was a tool of the Democrat Party. Cultural engineering by liberals, as part of their core agenda, also brought to this country Jim Crow laws, segregation, affirmative action, and institutions like the NAACP and the Congressional Black Caucus. One of the latest liberal tools to further the control of minorities in this country is the BLM, and all of those institutions are equally as racist as the KKK or any white national organization. One cannot fix the problem by adding to the problem. And the latest ploy to control minorities now seems to be cultural reappropriation, which seeks to invent a way to control the majority while keeping minorities at their current socioeconomic level and cultural level. What the liberal Marxists of today are really telling minorities is that they can't compete because they are inferior due to their skin color, and the only way to find balance is to lower the collective capabilities of the majority by re-engineering them at a cultural level. Today's liberal Marxists know that more and more minority voters are seeking independence and equality, seeking a higher cultural standard through self-reliance, rather than being from government reliance, let's say. And as they do so in rising numbers, the liberal Marxists see their own voting bloc and their influence over power dwindle. The problem in this country isn't systemic white racism, it's systemic liberal racism. And the fact that more and more black people, or as Biden likes to refer to them, more and more of those kinds of people, are starting to realize that. Let me tell you how this be less white crap is working out. Harry Shearer is a white actor who voiced the black character on The Simpsons, Dr. Hibbert, as well as several other characters. He just got fired from voicing Dr. Hibbert and will be replaced by a black actor to voice that part. And remember Rachel Dolezal? She tried to be less white, and the NAACP fired her pretend black ass. Have a Coke and a smile, right? Make mine a Pepsi.
This whole thing is so out of hand. It really needs to stop. The whole reparations nonsense needs to stop. No one alive today owned a slave. No one alive today was a slave. All this nonsense going out now with these cultural appropriations and be less white, be less black, be less this, that, and the other thing. It's all nonsense. It needs to go away.
It's pretty stupid when you get right down to it. I mean, they're saying we're going to fix racism with more racism.
Right.
I mean, that's nonsense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. None. But this whole thing makes no sense whatsoever. You know, you and I can't be less white. Black people can't be less black. How about if we all just try to be decent people?
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, that's why I said I grew up in a culture where you didn't give a crap about anybody's skin color. All you cared about was whether they were good, decent people or not.
Exactly.
You know? And, I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, it doesn't, you know, it falls into the same genre as the mantra, all lives matter. The BLM sorts, they don't want that. They only want black lives to matter. But why should black lives matter more than white lives, red lives, yellow lives, police lives, blue lives? Why should black lives matter more? Because their ancestors were slaves? I got news for them. Every people of every race, every creed, every color, at one time or another in their history, those people were slaves.
Yeah.
I mean,
it just is what it is.
That's just the way it is. Unfortunately, that was human nature. And in some parts of the world, it still remains so. You know, if black people want reparations, why don't they speak to the relatives, the ancestors, the current ancestors of the tribal chiefs that sold them into slavery?
Well, that wouldn't make too much sense.
Yeah.
You know,
that's who their feet should be with.
Well, it would eliminate a scapegoat.
Right.
You know, and liberals don't want that.
No, and you know what fuels a lot of it, Craig, is simple jealousy. Look what Whitey has that we don't have. Never mind that Whitey worked hard, got an education, did the best they could to work their way up and make successes of themselves. And I'm not talking multi-million dollar successes. I'm talking regular, hardworking, middle-class Americans.
Right.
They didn't spend their lives generationally with their hand out asking for more free stuff. They got up, you know, off their butts, took responsibility for their own actions, got a job, took care of their families, and they passed that ethic on to their children. Something happened in not all, but in a great majority of the black community where that work ethic just was not passed on.
Well, and it has a kind of a snowball effect. I mean, when you go from generation to generation like that,
right.
you know, kids grow up, they don't see anything but that. That
right.
becomes their normal.
Well, you know, you got to sometimes wake up and simply take responsibility for yourself. If your first thing in the morning that you think of when you wake up is your skin color, you have lunch with thinking about your skin color, dinner with thinking about your skin color, and then going to bed thinking about it and repeat the same cycle day after day after day, you've psychologically kept yourself back. It's not our fault. It's your own fault.
That's why I say right here in this commentary, it's self-inflicted.
Exactly.
You know, and it is. And more black people, thank God, and minorities, it's not just black people. Okay.
Right.
More and more minorities are starting to understand that, and they're walking away from the liberal agenda. They're seeing the opportunity and the result of being self-reliant rather than being reliant on government.
Well, here's a good idea. Why doesn't each race champion what's good about themselves and push forward what's good about themselves instead of always looking for the negatives in somebody else?
Where's the fun
and, you know,
in
maybe
that?
Maybe politics can, you know, politicians can learn a lesson about that too.
Where's the fun in any of that?
That's true. It is not.
I mean, look, I've said it for years. And I'll keep saying it. Liberalism requires victims. Now, if you go around just looking for the good in who you are and what you are, whether you've got any control over it or not, suddenly you're not going to be a victim. And if you're not a victim, well, then the liberal agenda's in trouble. So they've got to instill in you. They've got to make you believe you're a victim of something real or pretend.
Right. Remember, victimism is a business now.
Oh, big
it's
time.
It's a big business. And you take away victimism, you've taken the power out of those people who think they control that business. It's a vicious cycle, basically.
It completely is. It absolutely is. Folks, look, you can find this commentary. There's a couple of ways you can do this. Coax less white racist agenda. It's available at thenationalpatriot.com, of course. And if you go to rspradio1.com, it's right there on the homepage. Either way, I invite you to grab it, read it, share it, click like at the bottom of it, whatever you do with it. But I'm telling you, this is going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Right.
If the liberals have their way about it.
Right. It absolutely is. And, you know, we have to hold out for 2 years till we can take back the House and the Senate. But, you know, if we keep going like this, and if things like Coca-Cola and Mr. Potato Head, which Hasbro has said, no way, they're not going to do it. But if these kind of things are the things that dominate the news now all the time, instead of the serious issues, we're not going to even win in 2022.
People got to wake up.
Back anything.
People got to snap out of it.
Yeah. Because we're now allowing ourselves to be the victim.
It's insanity.
And that's not it. We don't have to apologize for how we were born, what color our skin is. Nor do they have to apologize for the color of their skin. It's diversity. But we need to stop politicizing diversity.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, doesn't make any sense. Folks, we appreciate you being along for the ride tonight. Short as it is, you know, when Diane quits hurting herself and gets her house back in order and is able to find anything.
I didn't hurt myself. I was hurt by a Cadillac.
Yeah. One of the biggest problems right now, not that your hand isn't a big problem, but you're down to living in a phone booth.
No, my problem is, seriously, I want my life back because this is ridiculous. Having, you know, foot broken, now hand, and not being able to do anything. I basically have to rely on my husband and women. We really don't like that all the time.
Well, suck it up, cupcake.
I got to have a sense of humor through this, right?
Well, I'm trying to help you with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell the women out there, my spike heels are all lined up, you know, in a row saying, when are you going to wear us again?
Right. Right. Well, folks, look, you know, we'll get things back on track eventually. Okay, we'll get back to two-hour shows eventually.
And I'll be eventually able to write some articles again.
It's just going to take a little time. We thank you for bearing with us. That's what we're saying.
Yes.
All right. So, Diane, it's time for us to wrap this up and say goodnight. And I'll let you say goodnight, and then I'm going to drop that holy crap moment on people as I say goodnight. We'll just leave it sit there.
Okay, no problem. Okay, nighty night, folks, and see you next show.
Folks, we hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday if everything goes right. Here's your holy crap moment of the night. We're now living in a world where the party that controls the agenda for this nation has reassigned the gender of a plastic potato.
Right.
Good night, everybody.
Night, night.